Of the 40 or so parables that Jesus tells in the first three Gospels, the one that we have today from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke has to be one of the most bizarre and intriguing of all of them, and perhaps the one that is most commonly misunderstood. When you read the writings of either saints or scholars over the centuries, there are so many interpretations of this parable that it can get very confusing very quickly. So to get a sense of what Jesus might be saying to us today when he tells this parable about another rich man with a steward or a manager looking after his affairs, we first need to go back and understand how the Jewish world operated at the time. One of the things is that in the law of Moses, it's strictly forbidden for a Jewish person to take interest on a loan. And so when people would enter into commercial transactions, they would know that and they would say, well, let's have, for example, two different sets of books. One which records the actual amount that was borrowed, how much was owed exactly according to the law of Moses. But there would be a second book, one that would actually be used. And the second book would record a higher amount. And the higher amount allowed the rich man and his steward, in this case, to make a profit from that transaction. They would be allowed to experience an increase over and above the actual amount that was owed. And so when we're told in the gospel today, two of the debtors were called into account, and he says, how much do you owe my master? 100 measures of oil. Here, take your bill, sit down, and write 50. Then he said to another, and how much do you owe my master? 100 measures of wheat, he said, take your bill and write 80. Now, the amount of profit in each case is about the same. 50 measures of oil, 20 measures of wheat are about equivalent to 500 denarii, or about 20 months' wages. So it's a significant amount of money at any rate. So the steward, when he's called into account, when he's caught with his hand in the till, when he's caught cheating on his master, and he knows that he's in a desperate situation, he's going to be sacked, his employment here with the rich man is going to be terminated. And we're told how desperate he is by the two choices that he presents to us. What am I to do? I'm too old to dig. I'm not strong enough. And I'm too proud to beg. So clearly, they were the two possible choices that were available to him. Neither does he want to do. And so what does he do? He says to his master, look, I know. When I draw up an account of my stewardship, this is what I will do. I will decrease the profit, take away the profit from the debtors that owe money to my master. They will be able to repay more quickly. My master will be happy because he will get actual payment rather than just having a series of these amounts owed on the books. And so, yes, the master is happy because he gets paid quicker. But he's also caught out, because he can't complain about this. He can't say to the authorities, no, there is the second set of books that clearly indicate how much profit I was going to make on this person, because he knows that under the law of Moses, it's forbidden to be a usurer. It's forbidden to take interest on a loan. And so the master is in a bind. And so he praises the astuteness of the steward, because the steward has done something that has allowed him to get away with this. And indeed, to carry favors with other potential people who might take him into his employment. Although it's this kind of a strange thing to say, yes, these people will like me because I'm dishonest and I'm a cheater. And so the irony would have been obvious to anyone who was listening to this parable when it was first told by Jesus. Now, there's a couple more things that we need to take account of. The first is that we're told that the master commended the dishonest steward for his prudence. Now, that's the master in the parable. It's not Jesus commending the man for being dishonest. It's not Jesus saying, yes, go and do the same. Go and be dishonest. Go and cheat your fellow brothers and sisters. No, we need to keep that into account. The second is that we're told by Jesus, make friends for yourselves by means of unrighteous mammon, or this unrighteous money, so that when it fails, they may receive you. Now, the next phrase is translated oddly in a lot of our Bibles, eternal habitations here in the NRSV, eternal dwellings. tense that will last is another translation. What we need to understand is that, again, Jesus isn't saying to us, you should try and buy your way into heaven. No, that's impossible. That's not what Jesus is after or on about here in this gospel. What Jesus is inviting us into is a realization that there will be things here on earth, things that will last. And in those relationships, that we can use money, tainted as it is, to win favor with our friends. And so he says, use that. Be a good steward of what God has given to you. Jesus is never simply against money per se. It's always that sense of what money, how money can lead us astray and how money can lead us away from the original truth and beauty of God's kingdom for us. And so it's not about buying our way into heaven. No, it's about building things that will last, things that will actually endure both now and forever. But here, the sense is simply allow money to build things that will last here in this life. It has no possibility of opening the way to the gates of heaven. It has no possibility of building something for eternal life. Now, in light of Pope Francis's recent comments on various things about the church and the way that the church needs to be right now, he's calling us to be a church that is compassionate. He's calling us to be a church that embraces the way of mercy. And so we need to embrace that life fully and completely in our present situations. Now, one of the ways of reading this parable is not simply about these two particular individuals, but whenever we hear about a rich man in the scriptures, it almost always is, at least at some level, an image of God the Father. A steward would always be seen by the Jewish people as an image of themselves. It was a sign of their own life, of what they were meant to do. We're told in the first chapter of the book of Genesis that when God created man and woman, he made them stewards over all creation. And so the Jewish people understood that that was their role, to be used as his people, to be his very presence, his hands and feet in the world. And we need to continue to do that as well. One of the things that we have failed to do, perhaps, as a church, is to really bear witness to that. We failed to actually be faithful and fruitful to all that God has prepared for us. And so we need to be people who actually respond to what God has given us to do. Now, the Pope is saying, now there are essentials. There are things that are non-negotiable in our way of faith and in our response to the Lord. One of those is our necessity to be a church that is merciful and compassionate. They're the things that we need to bring once again front and center. They're the things that our stewardship demands of us. And so we need to be faithful to that, not get caught up in all kinds of things that the Pharisees were also caught up in, things that were not at the end of the day essential or important, things that call us deeper into that celebration of life, into who we are called to be as the people of God. And so we need to remember, what are those things in our life that are essential? What are those things that God will call us into an account of our stewardship? What are the things that we can change in our lives to be more generous, to respond more wholeheartedly to Christ? That is our call. That is our witness that we need to open ourselves to. So let's indeed be people who are joyful, people who welcome, people who embrace others, people who at the end of the day know that we want to celebrate life with them, that we want them to experience the wonder and the gift of life that we have found in Christ. Let's be people indeed who are generous, people who open ourselves to the grace of Christ present in us, people who embrace the power of the gospel to follow the Lord and to respond to his call. Amen.